Oh, lift your voice and just honor the Lord with me tonight. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being my light and my salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you today, God, for the way you do it. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. And note with me, the word of God transformed not only the darkness, but also the formless void. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to us about the voice for the void. The voice for the void. Life sometimes can get dark and feel like it has no form and void. How many has ever been there? Amen. You ever had a chaotic moment in your life? You was wondering, are you coming or going? What's happening in your life? You couldn't see. You feel like things were falling apart. Your life had no meaning. It was vacant, empty, meaningless, mundane, purposelessly existing. Come on, somebody ought to know tonight. Amen. You've been there before. Amen. You ever felt like you was back in darkness because you could not see what was happening in your life? Amen. I'm thankful tonight. Amen. I have a God who's still God. Amen. That darkness, amen, vanity, amen, chaos, all these different things does not, amen, hinder my God from working. He still is able tonight. Amen. He still answers prayers. Amen. Have you ever heard the statement, something is null and void? Amen. Null and void. That phrase meant, it means having no legal force. It means it has no effect. It's null and void. It means it has no validity. Essentially, something has been canceled. Something used to be. Amen. But it has been canceled. Now it's invalid or treated as it has never existed. Amen. Worthless, null, and void. I'm thankful today that my God could make my past null and void. Amen. My worthlessness, amen, null and void. My purposeless life, amen, can now become purposeful by the power of the word of God. Amen. I'm thankful God still can do it. Amen. God desires for us not to be something that is empty, without form and void and in the dark. Amen. The Lord wants to be our light and our salvation. In fact, I love the scripture in Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God wants to be there with you now and where you need to go. I'm glad that God's not going to send you to a place, into a place, in a direction your life that he's not willing to go with you with. Amen. He will go with you all the way, even until the end of the earth. Praise God. You ought to be grateful tonight that you have that kind of Savior. Amen. Who is our shepherd? The Lord is our shepherd. Amen. You know, God wants us to be complete. He doesn't want us to be incomplete. He doesn't want us to be depleted. He don't want us to be like a tire that it has a leak. Amen. That we become flat. Amen. God wants us to be full and running over. God wants us to be fulfilled. Amen. Have you ever eaten something and you got full, but you were not fulfilled? Have you been there? And sometimes in life we get full of life, but we're not fulfilled. Things are tasteless. Things does not appease us. God don't want us to be that. God wants to be, amen, in our life. He wants to fulfill our appetite. God wants to fill the void inside of us. Colossians 2:10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. I want to tell you, God wants you to be complete. God wants you to be fulfilled. Amen. And God must be your main focal point in your life. And have you ever looked at things? Maybe a house right here next to the church. We have some vacant houses. Amen. And the nature of a vacant house, the detriment of it. When a house is left unoccupied, it begins to decay very quickly. Neglect invites deterioration. Paint peels, wood rots, and leaks spread. And it's exposed to the elements without warmth or life inside of it. Nature and weather begin to reclaim it. Amen. Rodents and intruders, amen, are welcomed in a vacant place. It becomes a habitation for vermin and a target for vandals. Amen. And also there's a loss of value which once was precious and desirable, soon becomes undesirable, unsafe, and condemned. You might say tonight, amen, oh, friend, it really don't matter, but it really matters that the Lord dwells within your life. Amen. I want to just tell you, it's not the size of a house that determines its worth, but the life that lives inside of it. Amen. In fact, amen, just because a man named Elvis lived there, amen, it made that house valuable. Just because some movie star lived in a certain place, that place became a valuable place. I want to tell you today, amen, when Jesus lives inside of your life, you become valuable. Hallelujah. I would that we would realize tonight how valuable we are to God's plan and to the church of the living God. Nobody could fill your spot but you. Amen. Oh, amen. In fact, there's just one you, not 20, not 10, not two. Amen. You could search the whole world through. God only made one you. And God wants to dwell within your heart and your life. Now, a vacant heart, think about it. When the human heart is vacant of God's presence, decay sets in. Morals, joy, and peace begin to deteriorate. They become exposed and vulnerable to the elements of temptation. You're easily be tempted, easy to become bitter, and deceived. When your heart becomes vacant, it invites spiritual vermin, unclean spirits, unhealthy habits and destructive thoughts begin to reside inside of you. I don't want those things to find resident in me. Amen. I want the power of the Holy Ghost to live inside of me. I want to be filled. How about you? I want God, amen, to take residence in my life. Amen. I want to tell you, a vacant heart loses its intended beauty and purpose. What was meant to be a temple of the Holy Ghost becomes very quickly a ruined. Amen. And you have experienced and you have seen in your short life the ruins of people, amen, that could have been something for God. But let the emptiness of life begin to have its way. I want to tell you, nobody could do you like Jesus could do you. Amen. The song we used to sing, can't nobody do you like Jesus. I thank that he's still my friend tonight. Amen. Amen. The book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 43 to 45, the Bible speaks about an unclean spirit going out of a man. And when it talks about going out of a man, it immediately begins to depict a house. In Matthew 12, he said, he walketh through dry places, this unclean spirit. And when he returns and he finds the house empty, swept, and garnished, he comes back. The danger isn't just being clean. The danger is being empty. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? David said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Amen. The importance of occupancy. It's not enough to evict an evil spirit. Hear me. It's not enough to evict something evil. You could get rid of something. You could get rid of something in your life. You could throw something that's offensive to God away. But if the heart is not filled, you have no power over things that will come back. And in fact, the Bible says when that evil spirit is cast out and he comes back and finds an empty house, he goes and finds seven others, right? And they come back. Amen. Number one spirit with seven, eight now occupy that place, and the condition of that house becomes worse than the original, amen, really was. I want to tell somebody, the devil does his job well, but I have a God who's bigger than that. Amen. Are you thankful that God works inside of us where the Spirit of the Lord dwells? Amen. Oh, God, I don't want to just evict some things. Amen. I just don't want to evict them, but I want the glory and the power of the Almighty God to dwell within me. Amen. I want to resist some decay. Where there's light, darkness can't enter. You start resisting some things. Amen. An empty house doesn't stay empty for long. Something's going to move in. If God doesn't dwell there, something else will surely dwell. Believe me. But I thank God, even though a rundown, abandoned house can be restored, with the right owner, when the right owner takes repossession. Amen. Oh, you're thankful that God is a master of restoring lives. Ezekiel 36, 26, he said, a new heart also will I give you. Amen. Oh, I pray that. Lord, give me a new heart. Amen. How many wants a new heart? Amen. You see, when you get a new heart, you get a new heartbeat. I want God to give me a new heart. I don't want my heart to become something old, cold, and run down. Amen. Because I want to tell you tonight in this place, amen, when I let me rule, me will ruin me. But when I let God rule, God will make something new every day for me. He just don't renovate us. He resides in us. And a once vacant heart can become a vibrant house of his glory again. Amen. I don't want to be a used to be. I want God to live in me. Amen. Won't you stick your hands up tonight above your head and say, God, I want you to dwell right here. I want your presence. I want your glory. I want your fresh anointing. I want your approval on my life. Amen. I want the blessings, Lord, on me. Amen. The sweet favor of your grace and power. I love you, Jesus, I praise you. God, dwell within me. God spotted me, every crevice and corner. God, we pray that you have possession, that you have glory in my soul. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation in my life. I praise you, Jesus. Oh, it feels good to feel God tonight. You know, the tragedy of an empty house is not its broken windows, but its absent owner. The tragedy of an empty heart is not its scars, but its lack of the spirit that once made it alive. And when God moves in, what was abandoned becomes alive again. And let me say this, empty relationships counter God's purpose. When we don't have a relationship with God, when we become empty, and we run on empty, and we don't seek God, we get to that place that we automatically think that I don't have to seek God anymore. I don't have to reach to God. And we just feel automatic that when you, man, Sister C, your car don't automatically get refilled. You wished it did sometimes. And you've heard me talk about learning the hard way. Amen. Some years ago, going to pick up my mother from Louisiana, and our other car, the light came on. And I knew it. It said I had so many miles to empty. I was listening to the radio. Man, I was worshiping the Lord. And guess what? I found myself on the side of the road. Amen. And I want to tell you, amen, feelings will fool you, but God will not. Amen. I need the power of God. You know what's beautiful? Amen. The power of God reaches all points of life. Think with me. Whether you're unraveled, you're at loose ends in your life, you're broken, you may be empty. Your life may be occupied with other things. You're busy. You're so busy sometimes you don't know if you're coming or going. You may feel condemned, guilty, because you're not giving God your best. You may feel satisfied. Everything is okay. You may be overwhelmed. But I want to tell you, God will still fit the occasion. I'm glad that God will complement a life. Amen. And let me say this. You may feel life is a chartered course and God is in it somewhere, but certainly not the focus and the center of your life. God's just somewhere there. You feel that something is missing. You feel there's a vacancy, or maybe you feel left out. You feel like, man, everybody else, you know, could pray, but when you pray, there's no generating power force. You're miserable with meaningless. Others seem to flow in the spirit, but they seem to feel things, but you feel left out. You can't feel the spirit. You can't hear the voice of God. Something is not there. But yet you sense the fabric of the world that we're in right now is stretching to its limits, and it's fixing to break. And increasing chaos is around you. And you struggle to grasp your place and purpose. And you're saying, God, something is wrong. You know, God uses different things to try to get our attention, but God's still God. He still wants you, even when you can't feel him. when feelings are tyrant, they rule you, control you. And after a while, you feel, well, since I can't feel God, I'm not trying. I want to tell somebody today, it's still worth, amen, seeking God and coming before God. Amen. It's still worth realizing that God wants your life. You belong to God and you do have a purpose. I want to tell you, every soul in this building has a purpose in the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm telling somebody tonight, amen, you may feel like your purpose has gone down the drain and you're just a nobody. Hey, friend, in God, amen, there's a purpose for you. And the Lord God tonight wants to refill that purpose and refuel that purpose in your life. Amen. Here tonight, amen, you may feel God is way far off, but God fits the occasion tonight. God's ready to refill your cup. Yeah. Amen. Increasing chaos around us. Amen. I want to just tell you, there's been a frequent sighting of the nest monster. You ever heard of the nest monster? What about hopelessness? Worldliness. Selfishness is loose on our world. I'm telling you, the nest monster. And you could feel that, wow, the nest monster's all around us. Amen. Because it seems like we're prayerlessness. Amen. Oh, God, what's happened to prayer? Do you feel and sense in your world? Amen. You feel, God, have you divorced us? Our world is divorced of the holy. Our world is divorced of the righteous, but that's okay tonight. I want to tell you, God still comes to those that will seek him and turn to him. Do you know what you need? Amen. Even when you don't even know what you need sometimes, amen, but when your want to is not even there anymore. You know you need God, but you don't have the want to anymore. You know, I pray, God, I know I need you, but I want to want you. Have you ever prayed that with me before? We prayed that some time ago. Amen. I want to want God. And when you want to has gone on vacation and you feel empty, you at a critical point where you have to start saying, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Amen. We become terminally sick sometimes with stage 4 prayerlessness. Amen. With prayer, amen, it's no longer there. We say words, but there's lacking of emphasis. Amen. I want to just give you the key. Amen. When prayer has no substance, you know what it's time to do? It's time to rebuild an altar. I want to say it again. When you feel like your prayer has no substance, when you feel like there's no emphasis when you pray, it's time to rebuild an altar in your life. You know, we're busier than ever. We're juggling vital components of life, family, relationship, finances, possessions, and somewhere God fits in the mix, we think. I want to tell you, prayerlessness is killing us. I want to get back prayer in my life. How about that? Amen. I want the spirit of prayer. I want the spirit of prayer in my life. Amen. Oh, amen. I watched people all my life that had the spirit of prayer. But I want to tell you, the spirit of prayer is not like a faucet that you turn on and turn off. The spirit of prayer comes when somebody follows the spirit of the Lord. There are some people that used to sound like they were, woo, they sound like they were anointed. They had a sound and had that preacher type of voice. Oh, I want to tell you, I know people that sound like they had anointing, that were in adultery, fornication. Amen. They were stealing and robbing. Amen. But friend, amen, I know people that could pray, amen, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and God gave results. God really wants to move this church with the spirit of prayer. And in order to move the church, God's want to move you with the spirit of prayer. Amen. Oh, friend, and we know that sometimes we've drifted too far. We've drifted. We used to pray. We used to have the spirit of prayer. I want to tell you, there is a cure today. There's a cure for hopelessness, prayerlessness. There's a cure for whenever you feel empty and your prayer seems to just barely reach the ceiling. There's a cure. I need somebody to look at your neighbor and point at them and say, there's a cure. Come on, you gotta join with me. Amen. Look at somebody else and say, God has a cure tonight. You know what it is? Sometimes we feel like we're too far gone. Second Chronicles 7:14. I need a reader. Second Chronicles 7:14. I need a reader. Get it quickly. Second Chronicles 7:14. Not my notes, but I want to share it. Second Chronicles 7:14. There's a cure. We're not too far to do something. Amen. Second Chronicles 7:14. You got it, Brother Brent? Stand and read it. There's a cure if my people, which are called by my name. How many are called by the name of Jesus Christ? Not only we're called, amen, by water baptism, we got the name of Jesus on us. We're called Jesus people, amen, but we're called. That means God has wooed us. We're called. We're chosen of Jesus Christ. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, pray, turn. The cure, all it takes tonight is a turn. The cure is our turn. We can rediscover the power of Jesus Christ in our life. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, all it takes is a turn. Amen. Think with me, a man that just walks in life. After a while, instead of walking in the light, you're walking from the light. And the way to get back in the light is just a turn. I don't care how far you've drifted. I don't care how far you've gone and how bad you've been. And the devil wants to tell you that there's no hope for you in God. But there, if you could just turn, amen, hallelujah. There's an old song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his. And that's a song, and it's powerful with a turn. I want you to understand with me tonight. God wants your voice. Your voice is wanted tonight. If I could put a wanted poster in this building, it would be for your voice. A wanted poster with your voice on it. Both God and the enemy of your soul is seeking your voice. God wants your voice to bring glory, to be a voice for him and his power. The devil also wants your voice. He wants to muzzle it, silence it. You remember John the Baptist? He was the voice of God in the wilderness. And John's voice was crying out, repent! The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent! The king is coming. Repent! You know what John was saying to a worldly, sinful people by hollering, repent? Turn. Turn to God. Repentance without a turning to God, it's just some saying, I'm sorry I stole that cookie. I'm sorry I didn't pray. I'm sorry. And we can say I'm sorry, but if we don't turn, why does the devil make a turn so impossible to us in our mind? I want to tell somebody, all it still takes is a turn. John was preaching, turn. John was preaching out, you got to turn. It's worth the turn tonight to God. Because if you plan to return to God, you're going to have to turn. Think with me. The devil don't like that message tonight. In fact, the devil already seeped in somebody's brain and said, but you've done too much to just turn. You got too much on your account. You can't. Look what you haven't done. You know what the devil bothers me the most with? It's not what I've done. It's what I haven't done. Does that happen to you? It happens to me. Well, you didn't get up at 4 o'clock in this morning and pray. You didn't do this. But oh, friend, I'm glad that when I turn to God, and I have turned to God, God's glory is there to lead me. Amen. And that John was preaching, return, turn to God. And the devil didn't like it. You know what happened? John the Baptist was beheaded. The enemy silenced his voice. And if the enemy could silence your voice is a powerful weapon against the devil and against his kingdom. And he wants to muzzle and silence your voice just like John the Baptist. There's two qualities, two twin qualities God put inside of every one of you. You have a voice and you have a choice. Think with me. You could choose to pray tonight and you could speak, amen, life into your life by calling out to God. Your voice, amen, belongs to God. God longs not just to hear your voice, amen, but to use your voice. God wants to use somebody to be a warrior, to pray, somebody to step before the throne of grace for somebody. Amen. Oh, friend, God wants to use a church. Amen. Oh, that living power of the Holy Ghost. When somebody turns to him, and when that voice returns back to where it needs to be, even God begins to use that voice. Just like in the beginning, the world was without form and void and darkness, but all it took was the voice of God to speak, and transformation happened. You know what can happen tonight in this place? When your voice, you become the voice of God, you start praying and you start taking authority. My, I feel the anointing now. Amen. The whole, amen. God's going to take the chaos, the darkness, the formless, amen. Oh, all the different things, the void, amen. The big hole that is inside the soul, and God is able to fill it when somebody cries out to God and turns to God. Are you living with a vacant sign in your spirit? Let the voice of God speak light into your void again. He's still the voice for the void, and he's calling for your voice in return to cry out to the living God. His ear is not deaf and he can't hear you. Amen. But when we turn to God and we come with our voice, amen, to God, amen, God begins to use us. If my people, which are called by my name, will turn and seek my face. I'm telling you, friend, even when we turn to God and we seek God, God shows up with emphasis and power and mercy. All it takes is a turn, church. It's revival time at Apostolic Lighthouse.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
God's ready to put the anointing and the spirit of prayer on us. God's ready to use you and I, our voice. Hallelujah. But oh, I'm just Coley Pirtle. You know, I just don't have it. I can't pray like Sister KK. You can't pray like Sister KK, but you can pray like Coley. And God could anoint you to step up past where Sister KK was. Because God, amen, is ready for somebody to turn to him. Hallelujah. Stand with me in this building. The Spirit of the Lord is already ministering. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I love you, Lord. I trust you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't have to be cheerleader tonight. Amen. The Spirit of God's already wooing this congregation. Amen. Hallelujah. He's already drawing people to return to him. Amen. God's ready to transform that void, that darkness. Amen. That meaningless in your life. You feel like you're just spinning your wheels. Amen. Oh, friend, tonight, there's hope for you. Amen. There's peace for you. There's joy for you. There's anointing for you. Hallelujah. Don't think twice about it tonight. Your voice ought to be lifted tonight and say, God, I'm turning to you. I'm ready for that anointing. I'm ready for that purpose. I'm ready, Lord Jesus, for that fresh fire to burn inside my heart. I'm ready to see souls filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm ready for my church, my home, my life to have revival. Amen. I'm ready for that revival. That when somebody walks in, they feel and know that you dwell in the midst of your people. They find a difference. They see the evidence and the proof of your glory. Hallelujah. What about you, saint of God? If my people would just turn, if my people would lift their voice and be that voice in this hour, come on, talk to God. God wants to use you again. God wants to restore your vacancy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you would help us pray around the altar areas, don't go anywhere else. Let's pray around the front tonight. Come on. I need some together around the altar, maybe around the pulpit. Amen. I want you to lift your voice. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is wooing, drawing. Hallelujah. Would you let God use you? Don't shrug God off. Don't wait for somebody else. Amen. Nobody can fill your spot but you tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we need your fresh anointing. Come on, brothers, sisters. Would you gather around the